Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man here, and I'm swinging by the Geekcast Radio Network.
But that's not all, folks. Here's the real blockbuster. Brace yourselves. You might want to sit out.
2017, 5 years ago. 2019, 3 years ago. 2021, a year ago. In the last 5 years, we've gotten three Spider-Man films, and those are the John Watts-directed films which bring Spidey into the MCU. I am, of course, Steve Joan Mike, and joining me, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Yo.
Yo. Today we are going to tell you how we feel about the Holland triple shot of Spider-Man films. You are inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, you haven't been on the show for a while. Actually, I haven't been on the show for a while. Somehow, we have a Krim Zeke in the studio, and he decides to go on his issues with his tissues. Yes, DJ Valentine is the Krim Zeke of the Geekcast Radio Network, because when he does his little issue skits for us, they could show up here, they could show up on Geekcast Radio, they could show up on the Pullbag. Hell, this hasn't happened yet, but they might even show up on Altered Geek. I don't know. It just depends on where it's going to fit. Krim Zeke! But DJ has been doing some issue stuff. DJ and I did, I think we did an SDCC wrap-up of the various lackluster panels between DC and Warner Brothers and Marvel and all that. I mean, Marvel's wasn't lackluster, but DC was like, here you go, everybody, Black Adam for the next 10 years. Yeah, no thanks. So you are back, sir, and we are here to finally wrap up the Summer of Spider-Man here on Studio 2009. How the hell have you been recently since you haven't been on the show?
Broke a finger, yeah, and sprained the same finger.
You different broke section. And sprained it at the it, yeah, different sections, but
yeah. Otherwise, doing pretty well.
Well, that's good. That's good. All right, we are going to get into it right after the first trailer for Spider-Man: Homecoming. We'll be back after this.
What's up, guys? Wait a minute. You guys aren't the real Avengers. I can tell Hulk gives it away. Oh, that was awesome.
Did Liz get a new top?
No, we've seen that before. Never with that skirt.
Should probably stop staring before it gets creepy, though.
Too late. You guys are losers.
So to become an Avenger, are there like trials or an interview?
Just don't do anything I would do. And definitely don't do anything I wouldn't do. There's a little gray area in there, and that's where you operate.
Oh.
All right?
That's not a hug. I'm just grabbing the door for you.
All right, kid. Good luck out there. I'm feeling
rough, I'm feeling wrong. Listen, I know school sucks.
Peter, you still with us?
Yeah.
I know you want to save the world, but you're not ready yet.
You're the Spider-Man.
No, I'm not. I'm not. This is just a costume. This is
from the ceiling.
Stay close to the ground and stay out of trouble. Forget the flying monster guy. There are people who handle this sort of thing.
I'm sick of him treating me like a kid all the time.
But you are a kid.
This is my chance to prove myself.
Peter, what is going on with you?
I'm really sorry. I'm so busy. I'm slammed.
Don't mess with me, because I will kill you and everybody you love.
All All right, folks, Spider-Man Homecoming, just the facts. As I said before, all three films were directed by John Watts. The screenplay for this one was done by Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly, along with John Watts, Christopher Ford, Chris McKenna, and Eric Summers. The story was done by Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly, obviously based on Spider-Man by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. And yeah, starring Tom Holland, Michael Keaton, and Jon Favreau, and Gwyneth Paltrow, and Zendaya, Donald Glover, obviously Robert Downey Jr., because this one heavily has Iron Man in it. Music for, I believe, all three of these films is Michael Giacchino. Love Michael's music. Very, very cool. This is so funny to me how, and I don't know if it's just Wikipedia or if this is how it actually happens, but Wikipedia, like, you know how they'll do, like, a premieres at somewhere, like, the actual theatrical release date for the wide release is July 7th, 2017, but there was a limited Hollywood engagement on June 28th. I don't understand that. Running time for this is 133 minutes. The budget was $175 million, and it made $880.2 million. Did you see this in theaters?
What year did it?
2017.
No. As a matter of fact, I have not seen a movie in theaters in years.
Yeah. And basically, following the Battle of New York in 2012, Adrian Toomes, aka Batman Michael Keaton, is, you know, doing the operation cleanup takeover thing, and then the government comes in and says, nope, you can't do it, and you know, Peter and Tony and everything else. And Peter's trying, you know, Peter wants to be an Avenger. Peter wants to, you know, do all this big, heavy lifting stuff. And Tony's like, no, just take it easy, kid. It's okay. And I like Michael Keaton as an actor. I always have. I like him as Adrian Toomes, a.k.a. the Vulture. I think that that's a cool casting for this film. I did not warm up to Tom Holland as Peter or Spider-Man until a film we'll get to at the end of this podcast, because I don't, like, Tobey Maguire's, like, awkwardness fits Peter, and it fit Peter 20 years ago, it fits Peter now, but I don't know what it is about Tom Holland's portrayal of Peter specifically.
He's too confident.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably it. And I felt like this film, there's no Avengers level threat. They're like, we're coming off the Battle of New York just after this, you know, when this film started. And like, hello, the Battle of New York is the Battle of New York from the 2012 Avengers film. But it's like, I mean, he's fighting guys that are trying to steal the alien tech. Like, it doesn't feel, it does kind of feel like a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man thing, but it doesn't also feel like he, and he's not even ready for an end of the world event, but like, this movie does not give me, like, I wasn't singing its praises. And honestly, up until I watched it just before we recorded this episode of the podcast, I watched this a couple of days ago. Like you, I know I didn't see this in theaters, but I don't think I'd ever fully watched it. I think I saw the Tony Stark stuff on YouTube or something, and I saw like the first 25 minutes of it. But other than that, I don't remember ever watching this film. Same thing when we get to Far From Home. I never up until right before No Way Home released on digital, I had never seen Far From Home. So I've only ever watched Far From Home twice, when it first came out on the digital, you know, when they, because for me, like, when No Way Home was getting ready to release, Vudu had this 8-film bundle. You could, you know, spend a certain amount of money, you get the Raimi trilogy, the two amazing films, and then these three. Because I didn't want to spend that individually. I wanted it all in one thing. So I got it all in one go. And I had never seen Far From Home. And Homecoming, it isn't a bad film, but it isn't a good film either.
This is my chance to prove myself.
Well, this is kind of my opinion. I liked the third film, No Way Home, the most, followed by Homecoming, followed by Far From Home. Yes, while Homecoming is mostly the fallout of Tony Stark's, he essentially creates his own villains because he's got all this money and can do whatever he wants. So he took over all the, you know, picking up the,
yep,
the alien trash instead of letting Adrian Toomes do it, which, don't get me wrong, it's kind of cool to see him, you know, Michael Keaton playing that role. Fills it really well, gives it a nice ominous presence that some of the villains kind of lacked in the Amazing Spider-Man dual films. And we haven't quite seen this level of gravitas since, like, honestly, like a earlier MCU film. And I really loved that aspect of the film, and, you know, some of the different things that were kind of playing out, and Tony Stark kind of trying to allow or not allow Spider-Man the ability to do certain things. And then you get to Far From Home, and you have, I just did not like Gyllenhaal's character. I did not like Mysterio. I didn't like the whole Tony Stark, you know, kill satellites. I didn't like any of that. And then I really hated how it tied into the No Way Home.
Yeah.
My favorite part of No Way Home is the fact that Tobey Maguire shows up.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
but you get all three Spider-Men. And to me, that was the icing on the cake. Yes. You got the villains coming back, but it was ultimately for me, like, seeing Tobey Maguire come back.
Well, it was a whole, again, No Way Home is this, honestly, it's a masterpiece of superhero filmmaking because you have everything in it. You have Strange, you have a little bit of Stark, you have all the spider people, you have all the spider villains. You basically have a Spider-Man, you know, a Spider-Verse in live action sort of kind of thing with... And I like how with that film, and we're not even really there yet, but we are. But, you know, I like how with that one, it has various, you know, like, they don't just want to let them die or let, you know, kill them or whatever. They want to see if
they want to cure them, which is a very Peter Parker-y thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Far From Home, Jake Gyllenhaal, man, I honestly didn't even like, who the hell is he? Like, really, seriously, like, I know his name and I know I've seen him in stuff, but I don't know. I don't even understand in Far From Home what his whole, I know what the character of Quentin Beck is. I know what Mysterio is, but, like, what was his point? Like, he wants to take over the world, I guess. I don't even, like, I'm watching this movie and I'm like, dude, what are you trying to do other than confuse the hell out of everyone in the movie plus the entire audience?
Yeah, I mean, the whole movie was kind of just bleh to me. I didn't resonate with it. I really didn't care about it. It was kind of, I mean, I liked the idea that they were bringing Mysterio in, but I didn't like the implementation of the entire film.
Yeah. The execution was just, I like the effects. The effects are cool. That's great. And, you know, the whole thing with Edith and the killer drones and the whatever, like, I mean, I get it. You know, they're trying to show us that in Far From Home, Peter's still kind of, he's sort of ready, but he isn't ready kind of thing. And yeah, I'm looking at Gyllenhaal's IMDb. He was a kid in City Slickers. He was in Homicide: Life on the Street for an episode. October Sky, Moonlight Mile. Like, I don't recognize, like, as I'm scrolling up, Love and Other Drugs. I didn't even really see that movie. But, like, there's nothing, like, honestly, up until you get to 2019, Spider-Man Far From Home, there is nothing in his filmography that is, to me personally, is memorable. Maybe some other people, like, oh, he was on a episode of Inside Amy Schumer, a show I've never watched.
No.
But, like, you know, normally with some of our actors that we talk about, there'll be like a Law and Order connection or a Batman connection or this connection or that connection. And I really can't connect him with anything.
I can't believe I gave Beck those glasses. I mean, how could I be that stupid? He's probably spying on me right now or sending a drone to come and kill me.
You had access to killer drones?
Yeah, I didn't really want him, especially after I almost killed Brad.
You almost killed Brad?
Look, I have to call Mr. Fury and tell him that Beck's a fraud, but...
Yeah, I don't know. In Homecoming, we have Michael Keaton and the Vulture and all that, and it turns out he's actually Liz's dad, and...
What did you just say?
I guess the whole point of the movie is eventually, you know, Peter wants to get to the Homecoming dance. I mean, hello, it's Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do like how Homecoming ends, where Peter puts on the new suit and Aunt May walks in. And like that whole, Peter, what the? And then it just ends. And then obviously we go to the mid-credits scene with the incarcerated Gargan approaching Tombs and all that. Yeah, you're right, man. Like, No Way Home is easily the best out of these three films. It really, really is.
Yeah, and honestly, I loved all of the actors coming back. I loved the the aspect of just, I don't know, like, it felt like a, you know, if you were a fan of Tobey's Spider films, you got something to love. If you loved Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, you got something to love. If you love, you know, Holland's, you got something to love. I mean, so everybody had something, but it was mostly Tobey's villain gallery.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, again, we know what happened to at least Tobey's version of Eddie and Venom and all that. But with the Tobey Maguire, Sam Raimi universe, you have two of Spider-Man's biggest villains in Goblin
and Doc Ock, and then they brought Sandman. So you got one from every film.
Yeah. So you did get one from every film, and I like that. I love, and the thing with Sandman is, at least how I like, he's a little, well, no, that's Hydro Man in the old cartoon show. The thing with Sandman in the rain, like, that just happened to him. He was like, yes, did he cause destruction and all, but like, all he wants is to get back to his family. So when they gave him the cure, it's like, oh yay, I get a happy ending. And that's great. That's awesome. I love that they did that. I think that's cool. I think that's what's cool about opening up the multiverse of madness, because yeah, you get to see everything. And man, I loved seeing the Sanctorum filled with snow. That was hilarious. You also see in some of these movies, like the first two of these, you see, you know, like, yes, Peter is growing. Yes, Peter is growing into the role. But we know he's in both Homecoming and Far From Home. He is nowhere near, like, he needs to just be stopping bank robbery, like ATM robbers and things like that. And he doesn't need to be doing Avengers-level stuff, even though he already went to space once.
Well, and I love the fact that Tony had embedded in the suit, you know, the... I forget what he calls it, but it was...
There's a ton of other subsystems in here.
Hmm?
But they're all disabled by the training wheels protocol.
What? Training wheels protocol.
And then he's like, hey... Or was the training wheels protocol or something?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was training wheels, and it was something. There were like three different names for various things. Like, Edith was asking Peter, would you like to unlock this? Would you like to do this? Would you like to, oh, the killer drones, because this school, all that. I understand it's a mistake. It's a this, it's a that, it's a misunderstanding, whatever, but. And I gotta say, I don't know what they plan on doing with Flash in this universe, but I hope they don't do anything with him other than recast him, because I hate the guy that plays him.
Oh, me too. He's totally worthless.
Yes! I'm like, the whole point of Flash Thompson is, okay, yes, technically he is Peter Parker's bully. And, stop bullying now, folks, stand up and all that and everything else and speak up and, bullying must be stopped no matter the cost. But eventually Flash becomes Spidey's super fan, and then Flash ends up with various things. Like, I think he ends up being Agent Venom in a few things and whatever else. But this Flash is just annoying as all get out. Oh, and annoying as all get out up until he got his strange powers. Ned is...
I don't much care for him either, but they kind of retconned him anyway by the end of the film.
Yeah, by No Way Home they did. I get that they're going for the whole... Peter Parker is a teenager. Peter Parker is in high school. Peter Parker has to juggle being Spider-Man and being Peter Parker. But the thing with that is normally he's not so much of wanting to be an adult, but he's not so much as wanting to be childish either. Like, he has some responsibility. And that's the thing with this universe. Was there even an Uncle Ben thing? Like, I think they mentioned it once that he's not in the universe, or he died, or before we saw, whatever. Like, that's the one thing about these three films. There is no...
Uncle Ben.
Yeah. And yeah. Aunt May before she dies. I'm pretty sure they dumped him. Yeah, so Uncle Ben isn't here, and at the end of it, May, when she dies, she is the one that says, with great power comes great responsibility. And I kind of like it, because it's not your standard Spider-Man. It is sort of a standard Spider-Man, but you have Tony in there kind of being the father figure overall, but, like, you just have Aunt May. And that, I think, is really cool. There is no burden. If you want to count Tony's death as a burden hanging over the Spider-Man's head, I guess you could do that, but I don't know.
I think you've done enough.
Homecoming and Far From Home, the plots in them are very, very thin. However, when we get to No Way Home, everything explodes.
Ever since I got bit by that spider, I've only had 1 week where my life has felt normal. That was when you found out.
When you botched that spell where you wanted everyone to forget the Peter Parker Spider-Man, we started getting some visitors. From every universe.
Hello, Peter. You're not Peter Parker.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Dr. Otto Octavius.
Wait, no, seriously, what's your actual name?
There are others out there. We need to send them back. So,
Scooby-Doo this crap.
You know, all this is kind of your mess. I know a couple of magic words myself, starting with the word please.
Please, Scooby-Doo this crap.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot going on. And it's mostly because, as usual, Goblin throws a monkey wrench.
Was Gobby throwing a pumpkin bomb. Also, the end of that movie was the return of J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson. Peter Parker is Spider-Man? Oh, man. I love J.K. So good. What are your thoughts on No Way Home as far as the plot goes?
I mean, it's pretty straightforward for the whole film. I mean, it all starts because Spider-Man won't shut his mouth. And yeah. Let Doctor Strange do what he needed to do, but also because he was afraid to take the other road and let things kind of play out the way that they were meant to. And yeah, he just kind of took the, he wanted the easy way out. He didn't want to work for it. He didn't want to deal with the fact that, you know, people hated Spider-Man or hated that he was Spider-Man. And yeah, it just, I don't know. I felt like it would have been some true growth on his behalf. I mean, I get that it would suck having everybody know your personal life and, you know, everything about it. But he could have had, I don't know. He could have just had it better in a sense. Had he not opened up his pie hole and had this whole thing happen.
Yeah. I mean, trying to get to the admissions director on the freeway, like, dude, come on.
And then he runs into Doc Ock.
I do love Alfred Molina in this. He's like, hello, Peter. You're not Peter. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Like, I love that whole interaction. I think that is super cool. And again, like I said earlier, what I love about this movie is that each of these quote-unquote villains gets... There are a couple of times where Doc Ock is like, you're not gonna, you know, fix me in a way like, oh my God, I'm broken, or oh my God, you need to change me. No, they're trying to, you know, repair you to the point where you can control the arms versus the arms controlling you, and, you know, all these voices in your head and everything else. I was never a fan of this version of Electro. I'm never really a fan of Electro in general, but the Max Dillon Electro, like, I'm like, okay, come on. Like, just accept it and, you know, let them help you. But there are some people that are just too power hungry, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I was not a fan of the character until he hit No Way Home.
No.
I did not like him in The Amazing Spider-Man, though. He just seemed really weird, like, and kind of just, I don't know, really odd.
I liked him, but I really liked him in this. But the thing is that the reason why he seemed really weird and odd in his movie, in Amazing Spider-Man 2, is because he was characterized as this nerd.
And they made him a jock.
Power. He's like, ooh, unlimited power. Ooh, this, ooh, that, whatever. And in this movie, he gets the an arc reactor. And holy crap. What an effect. I don't like the romance with Aunt May and Happy Hogan. That's a little...
That's dead to the world now.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Low blow.
And I don't know why they had to make May so much younger than what she normally is. I'm not sure what the feeling was behind that, in doing that. And Marissa Tomei is a great actress. I've seen her in plenty of things that she is so great. And she is great as Aunt May. I see more of the Rosemary Harris, the old, you know, Aunt May versus a younger version of her. So... anything else we want to say about No Way Home? What do you think of the effects, the overall effects of the movie? And
well, I love the updating of things because, I mean, let's face it, the Tobey films were not that visually stunning. But I don't know. If I was about to get emotional about a film, it would be this, because the first Marvel film I saw in theaters was Spider-Man 2002. And now technically he's a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I'm ecstatic that he was brought in. I loved seeing him return to the role. I have a deeper appreciation for Spider-Man 2 and 3 even after seeing this. But yeah, I just loved the amazement that they had, you know.
Oh, yeah, that was a great
scene. You make
your
own web fluid? That's cool. And he's like, how do you do that? And he's like, I don't do it. It just
can you only shoot that out of your wrists? I'm like, no, don't go there. Please, don't.
So you like make your own web fluid in your body?
I'd rather not talk about this.
No, I don't mean but to.
Are you teasing me?
No. He's not teasing you. It's just that we can't do that. So naturally, we're curious as to how your web situation works.
He's like, can I shoot it out of my butt?
Out of his butt, out of some other area. Because, it's just the wrist.
He's like, no, it's just my wrists.
That was so cool. And essentially, for new audiences that may not have seen the other two franchise film series, you get introduced to these characters in a way where they get to talk and compare notes, like we were just talking about the webbing, but they also, you know, tell Holland Peter about, you know, their universes and what happened in them and whatever else. So not that you don't. If people want to go back and watch those original films, please do. But you don't necessarily have to once they are introduced here. And I loved seeing all three of them web swing together. I thought that was great.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely one of my favorite things.
Very awesome. Anything else we want to say about No Way Home or Far From Home or Homecoming?
No. I just enjoyed it overall, and it was a very fun movie. I had no dislike of the final film.
And I don't know how they're going to use this in the future, but I do like Eddie Brock and Venom. The Tom Hardy, you know, kind of shows up and leaves behind a piece of the Venom symbiote. I think that's cool as hell. I thought that was an interesting little thing. And what Happy says to Peter at May's grave, you know, kind of inspires him to carry on. And he's making a new suit, resuming his superhero duties. And who knows we kind of know what's going to happen from here, but we don't know just yet. As far as the future, December, let's see, they were working on beginning to develop the story for the next Spider-Man film following Parker's momentous decision in No Way Home.
But that's not all, folks. Here's the real blockbuster. Brace yourselves. You might want to sit
down. Homecoming, I will give a 3.5 out of 5 on our universal scale. Far From Home, I will give it a 2. And then No Way Home is easily a 4.5 or 5. What about you?
Homecoming, I'll give a 4 out of 5. Far From Home, I'll probably give it a 2.5 out of 5. And then No Way Home, I'd probably give it I have to give it a 5 just because I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with No Way Home. I almost want to watch it again now. I just watched it. So since I bought the 8-pack digital thing, I've seen the film like 3 times now since it hit digital, and it's just so dead. Like, No Way Home and Spider-Man 1 are the two greatest Spider-Man movies at this point. Spider-Man 2 is right up there with it, but if you're going to ask me to pick my top two favorite live-action Spider-Man films, No Way Home and then 2002 Spider-Man.
Go, Web, go!
No, I get it.
Yeah. And, I mean, 2002 Spider-Man, like you were saying earlier, yes, the effects back then were a little whatever, but that was because it was made back then and not everything is going to hold. I mean, how can you hold up to today's standards with everything the Marvel Cinematic Universe has done in the last 2008, almost 20 years? Almost, sort of. You know, so, I don't know. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We're going to come back to close the show after this.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
He's with his aunt, some guy I don't know.
You sure?
They're just leaving the shelter.
Okay, don't lose it.
We are back here on Studio 2009, only on the GeekCast Radio Network. This is episode 50. We are at the end of the summer of Spider-Man, folks. I have so many plans for us to do stuff in the future with other topics and other things. This one was kind of delayed due to I wanted to get another guest on here, but we just couldn't figure out that scheduling. Hopefully we can figure out scheduling with that person in the future. Absolutely love recording with that person. So, you know, anytime, whatever, you know, whenever. But, yeah, Spider-Man, the Tom Holland Spider-Man. I'll be interested to see what they do with him next. And I'll be interested to see if they bring in, and it's kind of funny that in No Way Home, Electro even pointed out, oh, I thought there'd be a black Spider-Man. So, you know, at some point, they're going to bring in Miles Morales into the live action. Like, he made that comment.
Oh, yeah, they'd have to.
And it's like, okay, fine. And look, I like Miles. It's so weird to me. That video game, the PlayStation Insomniac game that's out, that's been out for since 20... It's been out since 2015. And it's like... It doesn't feel like it. That game feels so awesome and it feels so good. And I watch all kinds of people playing that game and I'm like, it's easily the best superhero game outside of Arkham stuff. Like on the Marvel side, it's easily the best Marvel game that has ever been in video games kind of thing. And Miles is in that. And obviously Miles is in Spider-Verse. And at some point we probably will do Spider-Verse. If you're interested, if you're not interested, I can find somebody else.
Oh yeah. I like
probably
Spider-Verse.
Be a Studio Tooncast crossover since it's a cartoon. And yeah, what have you got going on right now, sir?
Lots of stuff on all things Transformers as always. The occasional Alter Geek. And then of course, just enjoying the things coming out of the different conventions regarding Transformers.
Absolutely.
And Star Trek.
And yeah, for me, I've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. I've got, you know, we just had two huge interviews. David Kaye returned after 11 years. We talked with him. We talked with Tom Bergeron for the first time, and that was so fun. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely love that. I've done some
other stuff. That was a lot of fun.
And all that and whatever else. I actually have, as of this recording, this coming up Wednesday, I'm going to be talking. We're going to get a I believe he's been on three times, I think. Pat Shand, he's a writer. He wrote the Robin Hood comics from Xenoscope. So I've been doing these convention recaps with people. My buddy Christopher and his buddy Matt. I guess you could say he's my buddy too, even though he's not a Funko fan, which is whatever. But we did. They went to various conventions and helped out and worked out with like Rose City Comic Con and Emerald City Comic Con. They helped out one of their friends who had a booth there. So I'm like, oh, come on, Geekcast Radio and do a convention recap. Well, with Pat, New York Comic Con just ended, and Pat's like, so let's figure out a date. I'm like, okay, sure, fine, let's go. So we're doing that Wednesday at noon. Probably be on Geekcast Radio and the Pullback. I don't know yet. But yeah, lots of podcasting going on, lots of things. The Pullback is coming up to 500 episodes. The 500th episode will air November 30th, 2022. And then obviously this coming March in 2023 will be that show's 10-year anniversary. God, 10 years of that. Wow, that's a whole other can of worms, folks. Coming up next here... Coming up next here on Studio 2009, honestly, I don't know. I have a schedule for us, and oh, that's it. That's what we're doing next. And I know technically I've said, and this is very true, that this podcast is about anything in the audio and visual realm, so from video games to cartoons to movies, but we just end up doing movies sometimes unless we do commercials or we don't. But so... next time is going to be another movie thing, but it's going to be us doing a double shot, one that you picked and one that I picked. It's Ryan Reynolds Day for episode 51 because we're going to cover The Adam Project and...
Boo-boo.
Yep. I haven't even seen it yet.
Oh, that is such a good film. So, I love time travel movies.
Did we ever do The Time Traveler's Wife? I know I did a written article about it.
I don't recall, to be honest.
I'll have to search for it later. So episode 51, the next episode is going to be The Adam Project and my pick for the Ryan Reynolds Netflix thing would be Six Underground because I really dug that.
That one's good too.
Yeah. So that'll be a double feature. And then we've got a bunch of other stuff. I've got a podcast approach coming up that this person is the one that kind of outside of Steve and everything Steve has done for me over the last 13-14 years. Michael David Sims from Earth2.net, the show. I got him on the Pullback. That's the Pullback's 500th episode that will air in November. Well, in October 25th marks the 17th anniversary of him starting Earth2.net, the podcast and all that and everything else. So I'm going to take him through his podcast approach. And yeah, we're just going to have some more fun. We're probably going to switch up Video Games We Love Part 3. That will be the PS2, Sega, Dreamcast, and Xbox part of the evolution of Video Games We Love. And I'm going to have to I know you had an Xbox 360, but that's slightly different from the original. Did you ever have a Dreamcast?
I have played a majority of the different systems, but I have not owned a Dreamcast.
But you've played it?
Yes.
Okay. Because for me, I've only ever really played PS2. I tried playing Crazy Taxi on Dreamcast, but I just couldn't. And yeah. And then at some point, probably the beginning of next year, we're going to do a Crocodile Dundee episode. So there's lots of fun stuff coming up here inside the studio between podcast approach, the movies we want to talk about. And eventually some other interesting stuff that may arise. So yeah, that's what's coming up on the show. Anything else you want to promote before I run through the outro?
No.
All right. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can listen to us on any podcatching client you choose to use. I prefer Spotify, but that's just me. You can follow us on Twitter at GeekCastRadio for the network at ITS Studio 2009, all one word for the show. I am at TFG1. Mike, what is your Twitter?
At SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook at facebook.com/GeekCastRadio Network. You can also search out Studio 2009 podcast over there. It was interesting setting up the Facebook page and coming up with the name. Like, I know you used It's Studio 2009 for the Twitter handle because you're the one that set that up. And when I'm like, how many studio? There were like three nail salons and then like four fashion boutiques that all had the name Studio 2009. Hence why it's Studio 2009 podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. So join us next time when Steve and I will be talking about The Adam Project and Six Underground, two Ryan Reynolds Netflix films. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
J. Jonah Jameson reporting. Good night.